Coming up, a Sad Styles production.
Get into it!
What's going on, everybody? Welcome to episode 33 of the Good Buds Podcast, a show about the Toronto Maple Leafs, not weed, but weed is type. My name is Joey Belfiore, and I'm here with Andrew Bascom. Andrew, how's it going?
It's going okay. The Leafs have a head coach, but we are back in your earbuds to talk to you about it.
Yeah, news right away is nice because it makes you forget about the past and makes you forget about the hurt. The grieving moves along quicker with news about the future. And now I think, you know, with the dust settling, with the coach hired, I think it's sort of like everyone just it turns into speculation mode, I guess, for the next like month, 2 months.
Yeah, exactly. Now we can go into, okay, now we got the head coach done. We know who the GM is. We know the president's saying, and now we got to figure out who's going to be on the roster.
Yes. Craig Berube becomes a 32nd coach in Leaf history. A lot of questions, like, who's he bringing with him? Like, do we like the hire? Like, is he the right option at this point in time? So what are your initial thoughts? Obviously, like, we talked about this before he was hired, that he was kind of the candidate.
Yeah, and we were talking about that because we were entertaining the idea of Rob Brendamore because they were still playing at the time when we recorded last. Well, they got eliminated. He quickly re-signed. I don't know if it's any coincidence, but after Berube was hired. Craig Berube. You know, like, I think he was the best candidate out there in a pretty okay market. I think that's how I feel about this. I think we got the best guy. And at the end of the day, you're the Toronto Maple Leafs. You're trying to be the big kid on the block. You want to get the guy you want. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You don't want to be in competition with the Winnipeg Jets and the Ottawa Senators and all the other people that it, you know, are looking at Seattle that's looking for a head coach. You know, is there better head coaches? Yeah, probably. But I don't know. Like, I think I feel a lot of things about it. We'll get into more detail. But as on the surface, yes, this I think is a good hire. How about you?
Yeah, I'm happy. I think out of, like you said, what was available, who was available.
Yeah.
This was the move. Obviously, like, a Todd McClellan hire would have been, I think, disaster. Gerard Gallant would have been interesting, but I think Berube is the preferred, the more favorable option. And you talk about Brendamore. I think he was re-signing all along. I think it was kind of tough. Like, I think the deal was done. It was just they were waiting for them to get eliminated so that they could just focus on next year or focus on the playoffs at the time. So I didn't really think there was anything there that was realistic. It was just kind of one of those, oh, well, maybe they have an extension, like, you know, where like the rumor starts on Twitter and it just kind of explodes on Twitter, but that's where it stays. I am happy with Craig Berube. I think at this point in the Leafs core's career, he is the right type of voice. I think, obviously, like, you look at Austin, Willie, Mitch, they've had three head coaches, right?
Yeah.
You start your careers with this hard nose, tough as nails, phone scrolling, you know, email check-in, peek behind the curtains of the shower check-in head coach. And I think it scares the shit out of everyone a little bit. And then, you know, you quickly pivot to Sheldon Keefe, who I think was, you know, Sheldon Keefe's a great coach, and we like Sheldon Keefe on this podcast. And I think he had a new system for, like, a high possession system, a high east-west puck-moving, rush-oriented system that fit our core at their young age. Now, obviously, it didn't get done in the playoffs, and regardless of what you think of Sheldon Keefe as a head coach, I think this was the time to move on. But now these guys are 8 years into their career, 8-9 years into their career.
Yep.
And it's time to stop getting away with sort of the things that they are getting away with, or in the mistakes that they were making, the mental lapses that they were making year after year in the playoffs. I think it's time for, like, the word we've heard a million times this week, accountability. Someone who's a little more hard-nosed, someone who's a little tough.
Okay, this is where I start kind of getting confused. I got this weird flashback, the last offseason, where we go, you know what we need? Tough guys. And we start going, we're going to bring in Tyler Bertuzzi. We're going to bring in Max Domi. And you go, well, okay, wait, are those tough guys? And then you start looking at Craig Berube. We need this, none of this country club attitude around here. We need a little bit of people that are going to give me. And you're like, have you seen the videos with Sheldon Keefe? Like, he's in their face, red as like a popsicle, and like screaming at them. I just don't know, other than winning a Stanley Cup, which, hey, awesome. And then wins Stanley Cup. I don't know what systematically or stylistically this is that different than the former head coach we just fired.
I mean, do you think Craig Berube is going to walk back comments, though, like Sheldon Keefe had done a few times?
But do you think Sheldon Keefe did that, or do you think he was told to do that? I think sure, the organization, he's going, yeah. You think Berube is going to look Shanahan in the face and be like, fuck you, like to your boss, or to the Rogers yes. billionaire sitting on the...
Then this is not going to go well.
This is a bad idea then.
Well, I think it's gotten to the point where Brendan Shanahan has completely... caved in his, like, do we think if we're talking about the rumors of, you know, Brendan Shanahan had his fingerprints all over every decision that Kyle Dubas made and, you know, walking back, you're saying Sheldon Keefe walking back those comments because probably Brendan Shanahan telling him to do so
or somebody. Yeah.
I think Sheldon Keefe is, hey, like I love Sheldon Keefe. I really wish it worked out with him, but I think Berube's a different age, a different past, a different history, where if he was like, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to do my thing. And if they're like, well, then we're looking somewhere else. I think Craig Berube is easy. Like, all right, cool. Peace. Like I will have people lined up. Like, I don't think he really cares.
I'm not doubting that is all very true. It just, as a team, you have to wonder about the viability of all this because he does. This is Toronto. This isn't, he did head coach in Philadelphia, which is his own thing too. I get that. But to me, this is just a little worrisome that we're like, enough of this country club attitude. And then you're like, well, he wouldn't do that. And you're like, yeah, but I don't think that was the issue. I think it's the organization that's the issue. And I also will say that, like, if it's that kind of attitude that we really needed, I just wonder, you know, because I read this really good article before he was hired, right before that. I think it was Jonas Siegel and Josh Cloak from The Athletic were writing, who is Craig Berube? And they started asking former players that he had worked for. And he's like, he is the player's coach. He is right in your ear and being like, I got you. You're doing great. Don't worry. I'm going to do things. And then we create this monster in our head of going like, he's going to call out players. He's going to push people around. He's going to do things. But by all accounts, it doesn't seem like he is that guy at all. He sounds like he's a former player who lifts people up.
Yeah, I think like good point. And I think they talked about this as well in the Leaf Report podcast that went out today. They had the St. Louis Blues Athletics writer on talking about how he is a player's coach. There are coaches where, you know, players are going to go weeks, months without hearing from them. And Berube is not that guy. I think people like to create this, like you said, monster because, you know, he was seventh all time in penalty minutes.
Yeah.
Or is seventh all time in penalty minutes. I think what I mean by not walking shit back is I just think people are going to know when they've made mistakes. And I'm not saying he's going to come down on him in this like berating toughness. No, like Craig Berube said, toughness isn't fighting. Toughness is going into the corners, into puck battles, blocking shots, making the play to taking the hit to make a play. And I think Toronto has not the Leafs. I think Toronto fans have kind of warped this image of toughness where it's just dropping the gloves and big hits.
I completely agree.
Think that's what Berube, you know, coming in is what is going to change. I think it's more of that accountability on the ice. That sort of toughness where he's going to let a player know if he's doing shit, but he's not going to berate them for doing so. Like he's not this monster. Like the point you made.
That's kind of like, I'm tying it back to that first thing. We're going, we need toughness. Let's get a Domi and a Bertuzzi. And you're like, well, wait a second. That's not really these guys though. And I think it's just in our head. We want to check these boxes to feel good about stuff and going like, but he's a tough guy and he's going to scream at the guys and stuff like that. And you're like, yeah, I feel good. But in reality, that might not actually be true. And that's also okay. That might be okay. His way of coaching might be the best style of coaching that we can get. It just might not be the one that we think in our heads. And I'm being very generic with like a general populist thought about Craig Berube and the Toronto Maple Leafs in general. So I don't know. I think you and I are both kind of on board for this. I think it's the coach we kind of need right now.
Big time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Big time. Especially if, you know, a new voice is needed. I think he is the way you, sorry, I just had to swallow my own burp there. Excuse me. He's the right person to turn to. Okay. This is what I'm kind of like, I thought we were going to hear more news about his staff.
Yeah.
I thought we were going to know some answers. They clearly haven't made any decisions on that yet. Everyone who was on the staff still technically has a job. You know, Guy Boucher, yeah. Mike Van Ryn, Dean Chenoweth. I don't know. Like, Manny Malhotra. I think that obviously Mike Van Ryn is someone who's worked with Berube in St. Louis. So that's probably where everyone's thinking, okay, he'll stay on staff. And then I mean, there's been so many rumors, like DJ Smith has popped up.
Yeah, DJ Smith. Yeah, the Mike Van Ryn thing seems to be the one. That seems to be because they worked together previously. Mm-hmm. And even Elliot Friedman brought that up on 32 Thoughts most recently. Just so that feels like kind of a guarantee. But you're right. You know, part of the rumors you started hearing when Berube got hired was how much there might be like former head coaches all over the place in this kind of like all-star team and stuff like that. And they're really holding their cards. I also will say it's probably because there are so many coaching vacancies out there right now. There's going to be a lot of rosters having to filled, or excuse me, coaching vacancies are going to have to be filled. And so they're going to have to staff them all up. And if you could be the lead assistant in Seattle instead of the defensive specialist in Toronto, maybe you might be doing that. So it might be part of that.
Yeah, just kind of like dominoes falling and waiting for things to play out.
Exactly.
I'm getting antsy. I want to know. I want to know if Guy Boucher is going to be running the power play next year. I doubt he will be, but I want that confirmed.
Yeah, God please. Damn it. God, please, God, don't do that to us.
All right, we're in reports and rumor season.
Yeah, we are.
You know, I think you're going to hear, if you allow yourself, you're going to hear a lot of crap over the next few months.
If you allow yourself.
Things that have come out is that we're expected to move on from TJ Brody. I don't think that's a surprise.
No.
Brad Treliving probably going to let TJ Brody walk for the second time in however many years. This is kind of the move we all saw happening. It's unfortunate. I you talked to me a year ago and I would have been like, are you kidding me? You're letting TJ Brody walk?
Yeah.
But
he took a pretty precipitous drop off this year. The way that they were using him in the playoffs made him very expendable. And so this is not a big loss in the way that, at least in the organization's eyes, because of the way that they were using him. So I have to imagine it's just salary cap that we get to save a little bit on. And that's too bad because TJ Brody did a lot of yeoman's work. He did a lot of workman's work. I wonder what the NHL career is going to hold in the future.
Yeah, the interesting thing is the D market in free agency is pretty nice. There's some solid options, whether it's, you know, stay-at-home D or puck-moving D. There are definitely options that you can turn to, whether it's like you look at the forward group, it's a little thinner. You look at the goalie group, it's even worse.
It's Toronto Maple Leafs, exclusively.
Seriously, you're like, oh, the best options are Samsonov and Murray? That's why we're trying to look for a trade partner here. But more on that later. I think, like, we've been linked to, what, Brett Pesce and Jake DeBrusque? Any of those guys' names, Brandon Montour, any of those guys' names jump out at you?
They're all, you know, certifiable NHLers that have played really well for a couple of years, and, you know, they're multi-talented. I don't think they're a specialist by any means, but I those names are exciting. I think to add to our defense, which is definitely in flux, I think we're going to see a huge amount of transition this year, especially with losing TJ Brody, you know, figuring out what to do with Liljegren, if he's even going to be, you know, in the NHL as a Toronto Maple Leaf. You know, there's like a huge question with that. And then there's stalwarts. So I think moving some pieces around to find a right combination, because God, you know, the forwards moved up and down and it all looked pretty good. Defense, it was like, who wants to play together tonight? Like, it was a lot of like looking around the room, like, what do you guys want to do? There's only six of you. Like, Jesus Christ. So yeah, a little bit of stability would be nice, and you find a key piece that'll go a long way.
It's interesting because you look at back to Berube for a second, you look at his defensive group in 2019, like you'd think Brad Treliving would have the largest boner of all time looking at those six. Like, it was non-stop trees.
Yeah.
Like,
You know,
you had Pietrangelo, you had Bomeister, you had Edmondson, like you had Pareko. Like, these guys were monsters. And you wonder, with Joel Edmondson being a free agency and Berube back and him being a guy that Treliving went to go get, I would be putting some money on Joel Edmondson being back in a Leaf uniform next year.
Yeah, you know, which, fine. You know, I don't know. I had some issues with him, but I think that was mostly how he was used and the situations he was put in. But, he, you know, more than anything, he handled the Toronto media so well. He gave some, like, really thoughtful quotes. He seems to be, like, a pretty thoughtful guy. So I think that goes a long way into doing it. Mm-hmm. Considering when you're older, you just don't want to deal with some of the bullshit. Look at Ryan O'Reilly. So, you know, that's totally fine. God, do you hear a lot of rumors about Petrangelo, like that they might be moving off of him? But you know, and God, does that scare you a little bit? Because what it would require, excuse me, to get him is a little nerve-wracking.
Yeah, that's too hefty of a salary, I think, for me. As nice as it would be, I don't know how you make that work in any way.
Another Ontario boy, another Toronto boy,
Richmond Hill.
Yeah. Richmond Hill, yeah, I knew his cousin. beautiful. I'm not going to say her name, but you could guess the last name. I don't know. I wonder what they're going to do. Do you have a favorite of those three that you brought up for Petrangelo aside?
Of like the Pesci, what name should we say?
Montour Brusk.
Oh my God. If you can get like Brady Skay or Brett Pesci from Carolina, I think you're laughing. Yeah. Brandon Montour would be such a nice get. Yeah. DeBrusque is just a leaf killer. So I could totally see us getting him and it going horribly wrong. You know what I mean? So he doesn't like, whatever. We'll cross that bridge if or when we get there. Zadorov is someone who I want, and I think Trey Living would go after. However, I think his price has just skyrocketed these playoffs because, you know, he's a fun quote. He's been everywhere in the media. He played very well in the playoffs. So he inflated, like, he's going to get north of five somewhere.
I keep hearing 5x5, which, whoa.
That's what I mean. So I would have loved to do Zadorov at 4-4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, at 31 or whatever, yeah.
But 5-5 is a little scary. I could totally see Tree Living overpaying for him. If that happens, then we'll talk about it then.
Better start loving him. Yeah, like Jesus, he's not going anywhere. No, I know. The other thing too that we still need to be a little cautious of is there's still a lot of restricted free agents, qualifying offers, exclusive free agent windows. It gets really tough to even find out who is really available until that free agency on July 1st. So, we'll talk about our schedule of recording at the end too, but at this point it is all rumors and reports.
Yeah, it is. And a lot of goalie reports. A lot of what to do with a certain number 16 and goaltending, or does goaltending come back the other way? Before we talk about Mitchie Marns and some goaltending options, I have to say something that was so egregious.
This is egregious!
Whoa.
Do it.
It's egregious.
This is egregious!
As we all know, Leaf Nation's no stranger to exaggeration or overreaction. I myself have found myself saying egregious things all the time. However, this segment is to highlight how ridiculous and egregious Toronto media and fans can get. So, I've seen or scrolled through a lot of articles over the past couple weeks since we've been eliminated. And one that jumped out at me was that Casey DeSmith would be a good depth option for the Maple Leafs. So we've been a team that has had Band-Aid, I would say Band-Aid after Band-Aid in goal for a few number of years since Freddie Anderson left.
Yeah, I'd agree with you. Yes,
no one that has jumped out to be like, this is our number one stud goalie going into the year. It's kind of been like, you get a couple guys in free agency, hopefully one works out. Oh, one did work out, and then he's next year, and then all of a sudden his confidence is, you know, as low as it could ever be, and that applies to a couple of the goalies we've had, not just one. So I think a huge need for us, I think the biggest need is to shore up that position. If you look in free agency, it's brutal. No. Like Cam Talbot, Ilya Samsonov, Matt Murray, if you want your stud number one, and for me, I think you need a stud number one because I just don't trust the health of Joe Woll for someone who's played less than 40 games in his career. I think you want to go into next year with not another Band-Aid and plus Joe Woll. I think you want someone who's a little more proven, a little more established.
Yeah.
So I like to look at a couple different options via the trade market. However, Casey DeSmith, that's insane.
That's you not
take Vancouver's backup or sorry,
backup, third, backup.
Because Shiloffs is she loves me. Yeah. Like I seriously think to go in to next season with Joe Woll and Casey DeSmith backing him up, I'd rather have Martin Jones backing him up at that point in time. Like what are we doing at that point in time? Like we've seen this countless time and time again. It has not worked in net. It has not been great in net for a long time. Maybe now is the time to look at someone who's proven, who's a stud, who's available.
Yeah, Casey Smith is complicated for a lot of reasons. Not only is he not young, he's 32 years old. You know, he's competing with Tristan Yari and Matt Murray on Pittsburgh, like for playing time. He's like, this is the most success he's ever found in the NHL. You don't capitalize on that. Plus, he's got a pretty horrific domestic assault case in his record. So,
oh my God, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, it's like a really bad story. When he was playing well, people were like, Casey Smith, oh no.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I know, don't worry
about
it.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's like—
Well then, yeah, even more so.
Yeah, this is egregious for a lot of reasons.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't— But it's just, even not even Casey Smith, it's the thinking that you're talking about. It's the approach of an older goalie that's never really had the success that they think that they could get out of him, and then taking a chance and pinning your whole season on him. We can't do that again. We just can't do that.
No, don't let it happen, Andrew.
Speaking of goaltending, I love this season. This is so much fun because everyone gets really brave. Craig Berube, in his introductory press conference, which happened this week, I love to also the Toronto Maple Leafs put out the press release Friday at 5 o'clock on a long weekend. You're like, you asshole. Jesus Christ. During the introductory press conference, Steve Simmons, local favorite of This Is Egregious, stands up and goes, first question, Craig, what do you think about the team's goaltending? Where there's a lot of issues, and he just gets cut off immediately and be like, yeah, we're gonna evaluate all the players. Can't wait to meet all of them. Like, kind of thing. And then he kind of goes, okay, second question. Marner and Tavares, you know, have been rumored to me. He's like, yeah, can't wait to meet. Sounds great. Just getting cut off left and right. And I just love this season because we're going to talk about Marner here in a second. Same thing. Nashville has a guy that goes right up to Barry Trotz during a scrum and just looks him in the eye and go, what about Mitch Marner? And Barry Trotz had to laugh because he's like, the hell are you? What? For so many reasons, I can't talk about this. And you know it. I just love this season because the reporters are like, hey, I got nothing else to talk about. What about this? Just like throwing crazy shit. Like, yeah. You have 30 duck-sized horses or a horse-sized duck? What do you think? Like, you know, it's just crazy.
Yeah, like, what's Trotz going to say? He's going to say that he's talked to or wanted to talk to a winger who's under contract for next year?
Yeah, we're close. We're close. Yeah, thanks for asking.
Yeah. But he has said at some point he wants them to— they need to address their scoring. And comments like that is where you start perking up.
Yeah, fair enough.
Mitch Marner, I think, let's talk about this because— Obviously, this, I think, is the biggest question of the offseason of what the Leafs are going to do with Mitch Marner. So many different reports. I think, you know, when the playoffs ended, you're in the reactionary grieving period and you're like, like, it's time. I'm ready to move on.
Yeah.
Now that the dust has settled a little bit, I'm not so sure anymore. I don't know. I truly don't. And I think depending on— obviously, if you do decide to move on from Mitch Marner, obviously what comes back will dictate how happy or angry you are with the move. Yeah. But I just don't know if we look at what comes back and we— I'm afraid like my jaw is going to drop and I'm going to be like, what have we done?
Yeah. Like, we talked about this right after we got eliminated. We had the exact same quote, but I think now we have a little bit clearer heads, is just saying like, we're going to lose any trade. We just will. There's this— he is a young, talented two-way player that will look good wherever he goes. He's going to look good. And we're going to go, oh my God. And yes, it is reactionary. And I know that's hilarious after 8 years, but it is reactionary in the way that we watched this one playoffs. And we go, I don't know. It's probably Mitch Marner because of a process of elimination. Because we had just signed Willie, we just signed Austin, and probably no one's taking John Tavares' salary cap hit going backwards. And that's just probably just not happening. So that leaves one of four. And Morgan Riley is the only defenseman that we can probably count on. So it's like, well, it has to be Mitch Marner. But I agree with you. We're going to lose. And it just feels like one of these things where like it would almost placate the fans. Like, well, like, we want blood. And they're like, good, we're going to trade Mitch Marner.
Yeah.
Good. You know, and that's a bad reason for doing anything. Like, he's a very talented hockey player. Is it so fault that we're bad that we haven't won a playoff series? No. But I just fear that we're trying to do the right thing by just giving up a sacrifice when really that might not help the team in the long run.
Yeah. Yeah. You have to be careful.
Yeah.
I think, you know, there are trades out there that I would do for Mitch Marner. Yeah. I think there are, if you're getting a stud guy on the back end or a stud in net and some draft picks, listen, like the Saros one is something that I brought up in the last episode.
And
people have been talking about Saros. And, you know, the people against it are saying, why would you be trading Mitch, UC Saros and Mitch Marner for Mitch Marner? Sorry, vice versa. It's not just UC Saros. Like, Mitch Marner is an absolute top. He's a top three winger in the league. Like, you're getting UC Saros plus. So I think if you're getting UC Saros, like, draft picks, you know, we don't have a first in 2025. So if you're getting Nashville is two. So if you're getting one of those, if you're getting a guy like Jeremy Lauzon, like, I think there are ways to make that package more appealing. I really don't like seeing packages that are Mitch Marner based where we're getting forwards in return.
Because
you're making packages with Utah, right? Because Utah wants to make a splashy move. So you're seeing, like, you know, Logan Cooley come back the other way. That makes us way worse.
Yeah.
Way worse. Like,
trying
Dylan Genther, way
him.
Worse.
Yes, 100%. Trying to replace Mitch Marner with lesser Mitch Marners is a bad idea. That will lose that trade. You should be trying to, yes, acquire a goaltender, most importantly, because, like you just said, the market for goaltending is so bad. The goaltenders don't get traded a whole ton. And so you wonder. So the opposite side of this, I think I'm getting word that Sheldon Keefe is going to be the next head coach of the New Jersey Devils.
No way.
Wow. Good. How about him. That?
Attaboy, Sheldy.
Wow.
Attaboy, okay. Sheldy.
Some breaking news that will no longer be breaking whenever somebody listens to it. Let's counter that, because you and I are saying the same thing. Is it reactionary? Are we going too far? Does it have to be Mitch Marner? Yes, 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 yes. We don't think so. Oh, God, I'm kind of worried about that. But the opposite side of that is, okay, so we keep him. Now you got to sit there across from Paul Marner and go, okay, $12 million, 5 years, let's go. Let's, you know, and a no-movement contract again, or no-movement clause, excuse me, again. Is that something you're comfortable with?
No, I think if you are not trading him this offseason, there is still a very real possibility you're trading him in January or February. And then there's a very real possibility that you're getting him for the playoffs and then you are seeing him walk for nothing. Like, I think that's also an option, because listen, I am not ready or anywhere near comfortable signing Mitch Marner to an extension this summer in the 11.5 to 12.5, 13 range. Like, absolutely not. You can't do that based on what you've seen, based on how his price tag and how he's played through that contract. That being said, it's a huge risk. If, you know, he has an otherworldly year, he finally excels in the playoffs, you know, we go on a deep run, and then you're fucked, because then he's going to command more than that.
Exactly. And Willie.
Yes. So
we paid Willie at his height. We paid Willie at the best he's ever played. And that kicked us in the ass for that. Are we going to do it again? Or are you just willing to watch him walk for nothing?
Yeah. Or you trade him.
Or you trade him, I guess. Yeah, that's also true.
It's careful, right? Like, every situation is careful. I think you got to explore trades. Look, like Elliot Friedman said, like, they haven't even talked about this yet. And I think they're going to sit down with Mitch's camp, and they're going to see where Mitch wants a contract, or what Mitch wants a contract to look like. And they're going to let him know what they think a contract should look like. And then if that is super far apart, then I think you start looking at trade options and you start calling teams. But that doesn't mean that you're going to trade him. I think you have to see what you're willing to get back. And you don't just make a trade for the sake of making a trade. If you are getting the pieces back that make your team better in other areas, I think you pull the trigger. If not, your consolation prize is having a top three right winger on your squad next year. And that's not a bad consolation prize in any way.
No, because, and I know this is going to sound crazy, and people are going to drive me crazy when I say it, but, like, the team that is constructed or will be constructed for September or October can make the Eastern Conference final. You know what I mean? Like, you watch these games, and you're like, and you're like, so is that worth, like, success as a team? Is that worth? And then watching the walk, you're like, well, you know, like, I don't know. Like, success is good. You know, isn't that at the end of the day kind of what we want? So it's going to be an impossible question, because the no movement clause also just makes things so complicated. So it's like, does he want to go to Nashville? Like, you know, he's got enough stupid hats to probably want to go to Nashville. That's probably his stupid hats. So, you know.
Yeah, he does have so many fucking stupid hats. Mitch, just put him back in the box, man. Oh, my God.
So, you know, more has to come about Mitch Marner. But yes, am I hurt? Like, do I have to trade him? No. And if we do, we'll be very curious about when we get back.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of guys who we're not sure if they're going to come back. Let's go through them quickly. So okay. I'm going to basically give you an RFA name or a UFA name. And without even thinking or an explanation, yeah. I just want at this point in time, before all this happens, your initial sign him or let him walk.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So let's start with the UFAs.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Let's do it.
Matt Murray.
Let him walk.
Yes. Thank you. John Klingberg.
Let him walk. Let him retire. Yeah.
Martin Jones.
Sign him because it's going to take a veteran's minimum of 800,000. Sign him.
Okay.
Sorry. Yep. Fast. Sorry.
Yeah. Ilya Samsonov.
Walk.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. Would you say walk too? Yeah.
Yes. I think you have to. Yeah, yes. For what he's going to look for. Yes. Ilya Lyubushkin.
Stein. Because it'll save us from trading for him again. Yeah.
Mark Giordano.
Sign.
If he wants to, but
he's going to be the seventh defenseman minimum. Yep.
Yeah. Joel Edmondson.
Sign.
TJ Brody.
I wonder. Oh yeah. Walk. Sorry. I'll get to that at the end. Walk.
Max Domi.
Sign.
And Tyler Bertuzzi.
Walk.
Yeah.
Walk. The particular one I feel the most sure about, to be honest.
Yes.
How much do you think Joel Edmondson will sign for? Like 2 million?
How old is Joel? Joel's 30. So, yeah.
Yeah. I just wonder because if it fits, like, I know we're signing a lot of defensemen, even though we want to acquire more defensemen. But, like, if, you know, Joel 2 and Lyubushkin's 1 in a bit and, you know, Giordano's the minimum, you're like, oh, okay, well, that's not bad.
Yeah.
One TJ Brody, come on.
Yeah, if Giordano plays, like, who knows? Maybe he takes on a front office role and becomes Jason Spezza 4.0.
We have so many goddamn coaches. So many former players that make
big names. Big names. Yeah. Get them their cups. They never got their cups. Shane Doan, get them a cup.
Yeah.
Okay, just a little bit of a schedule combo. Yeah. A little bit. Obviously, it's going to get quiet here. And things will pick up around the draft and into free agency. So we'll probably be coming back up with an episode a week before draft night, pending nothing crazy happens. Obviously, if something happens, then we'll jump on and we'll get talking. But otherwise, that's going to be probably it for the next month. And then we'll talk to y'all a week before the draft. Before we go, Edmonton's the last Canadian team.
Oh, yeah.
Do you cheer for Canadian teams in the playoffs?
Joey, I very specifically cheer against Canadian teams in the playoffs.
As do I.
Oh, perfect, because we are bitter old men. I can't believe, like, I remember having a very conversation with my dearly departed grandmother when Ottawa was in the finals, and she's like, oh, it'd be nice for a Canadian team to win. I'm like, fuck no, absolutely not. Go Anaheim. Let's do this. Yeah. And my grandmother did not understand that, and I think I was, like, 22. I now am 38, and I do not want to see a Canadian team hold the Stanley Cup unless it's Toronto Maple Leafs.
I 1,000% agree with everything you just said.
Yeah.
For a second, do you think if we were the last remaining team that the rest of Canada would be jumping on? Absolutely not. So
Absolutely not. They'd be cheering for the Utah Yeti Monsters, whatever they're going to be, instead of the Toronto Maple Leafs.
And are you watching any of the World Hockey Championships?
I am. I love it. It's on at a great time for you and I in our schedule. Mm-hmm. And I was in with that Chechia game where they blew the lead and then scores shorthanded. Oh, I was so in. I also will say Tavares is playing pretty well.
He is playing well. What's weird is to see him celebrate with Brandon stupid fuckface Hagel. Because they're playing on the same line and they're playing really well together. And they're getting all chummy, which is a weird thing to see. Yeah, it's a weird thing to see based on the past couple playoff series where they've gone head to head and he's turned into a supervillain with a super hateable face.
I had no idea Hagel was Canadian. The other one is on the power play. They're using him on the bumper. They're using him in the Mitch Marner spot. And I just find it very curious, especially just years of Toronto Maple Leaf hockey, to watch that and to see where he's holding the puck and moving it instead of just playing down low, instead of just bodying guys. I was like, oh, man. Like, it just makes you doubt everything you've ever watched. Like, maybe we're not using them all at the right spot. No, Jesus.
Yeah, we'll see what this looks like. We'll like just let's know the staff soon, please. I want to know who's running the power play like pretty soon. Can we just speed this up, please, just for me?
I can't wait to come back and do an emergency podcast. Like, you will not believe who is coaching our power play.
Yeah.
4 minutes on, you know.
Yeah, on
DJ Smith,
Mark Savard.
Mark Savard, yeah. Mark Savard, that's the name to keep hearing. It could be a good summer. We'll be coming back in a couple of weeks here.
Yes, we will. But that's all the time we have today. If you've made it this far, we appreciate the hell out of all you good buds. Thank you so much for listening, and go Leafs go.
Go Leafs go.
When you're back down, when you're back down in Mexico, I hope you feel better like you wanted to then. I know we haven't talked, I know we haven't talked in a while, but my hands have missed the feel of your cold black hair.
Furnished by Sad Styles Productions.
Get into it!